You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I'm happy to be here with you on this Thursday afternoon after last night's very interesting turned very good game against the Lakers. I want to say to everyone out there, thank you for listening. Improving this pod has become a major passion of mine. And as usual, you can get in touch with me via email at alikocarter11@gmail.com or via Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, with your thoughts, suggestions, questions that you might like to hear on the air, anything at all. Please do reach out. Today I'm going to recap the Laker game and give a quick preview of the rest of the road trip in the first segment. In the second segment, I'm going to go through NBA Reddit and share with you the best thing I saw this week. And in the third segment, I'm going to take you across the country. The Warriors are on the road right now. Everyone has their favorite places that they like to watch games when they're not at the game or they're not at home. And I'm going to share mine with you. But first, I want to plug myself. I got some interesting new pieces coming out in Forbes.com over the next few days. So by all means, go to Forbes.com, search Aliko Carter, and I'll be right there. All right, let's get right to it. And let's start with my least favorite moment of this game, the last minute of regulation. 45 seconds to go within the flow of the offense. The Warriors get KD an open three over Lonzo, ties the game at 109. Beautiful moment. The offense was flowing. He came up from a down screen and drilled it from the top of the key. It was awesome. The next offensive possession that the Warriors had a chance to score, the game was still tied at 109. And what we decided to do was ISO KD at the top of the key. And I just don't understand why the Warriors would allow a moment like that to happen after so many times where, the famous one where KD called his own number in a stunted offensive set late in the game was, I can't remember who we were playing or whether or not it was the playoffs or the regular season, but Draymond had to pull him aside and had a conversation with him and said, that's not how we play basketball. And I just thought that that was an extremely odd decision with 12 seconds to go in a tie game is just to ISO Durant at the top of the key against Julius Randle, who defended the shot very well. KD did a little crossover move, got to his spot on the left side of the top of the key, it was well defended. He looked bothered and the shot was well off. I don't understand that play call at the end of the game. And without some heroics from Stephen Curry and, of course, KD in the overtime, I really think that the Warriors showed they didn't necessarily deserve to win this game with that play and with some of the other plays that we saw throughout the game and down the stretch. Second game in a row with poor late game execution. Obviously, the Kings game, the Warriors lost. And I don't understand what influences them to get out of their offensive flow, to get out of their offensive sets late in games. It's hero ball. It's less intelligent basketball, though. And it isn't a winner for the way the Warriors try to play. And I'm not saying that shots early in the shot clock are bad or that ISOs generally are bad. I just think that an ISO in that situation with 12 seconds to go in a tie game, you run a play. Run a play. Get somebody a good open shot. Somebody, you could get KD a good open shot. You could get Steph a good open shot. You could get Klay Thompson, who was having a phenomenal game, a good open shot. You could have Draymond direct traffic from the top of the key. Use Andre as the real weapon as you decoy the other guys. That's worked a bunch of times in the past. I just don't get the ISO call, and I don't know who made that call. It felt like it was KD making that call on his own, and I just think it was foolish. Nevertheless, it happened, and it gave us a beautiful overtime and our first Stephen Curry hashtag moment of the season. 13 points in overtime for Steph, with that wrap around his right ring finger and his right hand, how he managed to, he airballed three shots, I think, three or four, badly. During this game, it was obvious that the thing was bothering him. But that's what mental fortitude is all about. You know, when you have shot the ball as many times as Stephen Curry has shot the ball, sometimes you just dig in and you say, all right, I know muscle memory. I can do this. And it seems like there's a switch that he was able to turn on in the overtime and really overcome the cumbersome element on his fingers. So the Warriors go on to win this one 127-123 in overtime. Highly entertaining, but I want to talk about turnovers. Again, Kevin Durant with 6, Steph with 5, Draymond with 4, Jordan Bell with 3. 22 turnovers overall, which is too many even in an overtime game, and too many against... As we established in yesterday's pod, the Lakers are a good defensive team, but the Warriors were just spraying passes, were passing straight to Lakers on multiple occasions. I just saw a Laker. It wasn't that a Laker was in the passing lane. It was just that the Warriors were trying to pass through Lakers. They weren't creating passing lanes. They were like passing roadblocks. That's a problem. Another observation. We got to get Klay Thompson some more shots. Only 12 shots last night, 6 of 12 overall, 4 of 8 from 3. He shot 50%. He's shooting 50%. He made all 4 of his free throws. Can we just run some more plays for Klay Thompson? 12 shots in 38 minutes just isn't enough. KD, you know, is a much more assertive kind of guy. He called his number 12 for 25. Great game from KD, except for the 6 turnovers, but he stuffed the stat sheet, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, a steal. Curry with 13 points in the overtime after 15 in the regulation, only 3 of 9 from 3 with that wrap around his hand, 9 of 20, and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So he had quite the game as well, along with those 5 turnovers. And Draymond was quietly brilliant with a double-double and 9 assists, 4 steals, and a very measured offensive game. You know, he took 10 shots, which is great, only 3 three-pointers, which is great, and grabbed 4 offensive rebounds, which put him in position to make things happen for the team. You know, when you're not out there at the three-point line, you can grab offensive rebounds. It's fantastic. But also, 4 turnovers. So the turnovers are a problem, and they keep seeming to rear their ugly head. And that's just a bad start to the road trip. You want to start better than that. Quick notes on the Lakers. Lonzo Ball made 3 three-pointers very smoothly in the third quarter. Looked good, so good for him. Career high for Brandon Ingram, 30 points. He got his career high on the same night that Ben Simmons did. First time either of them has ever scored 30, number 1 and number 2 in 2016 in that draft. And so that's a nice little bit of symmetry there. But he was amazing, 12 of 21 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3. He shot 7 free throws, making 6. 7 turnovers for him, so woof. But 3 steals, 2 blocks, and a really just great all-around game. I thought that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he's got the makings of a bit of a warrior killer. He was fearless. He took 18 shots, making 7, so not incredibly great from the field, but fearless, like I said, and was able to battle for rebounds as well, 7 rebounds for him. Lonzo with 10 assists to go along with his 15 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 12 shots. That's kind of about where you want him. That's great. 3 of 7 from 3. I don't know if you want him taking seven three-pointers. The more aggressive he is, as Luke Walton has said, the better the offense. So 35 minutes for Jordan Clarkson. I love Jordan Clarkson's game. I love the way he plays. He's very measured. He had a big shot in the overtime. Julius Randle with 31 minutes and 20 points. So we allowed a ton of 32 points from Ingram, 21 from KCP. Lonzo had 15, Jordan Clarkson had 21, and Randle had 20. So nobody else really impacted the game, but it's a problem when you allow five people to get into double figures and get their games going. And it, I think, hurt the Warriors, especially late in the game. All of the Lakers on the floor were in a groove. Last note on this game, nice to see Andrew Bogut get some playing time. We do love our former Warriors. I actually have an Andrew Bogut number 12 jersey, but he's wearing number 66 now, which just looks kind of weird. Just 66 as a number is just odd to me, especially for a basketball player. And I'd love to know why he settled on 66 for the Lakers, because it's just odd. But anyway, I want to get to my best thing that I saw on Reddit this week. But first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you're trying to target men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com to find out. So Reddit is great for everything, especially basketball. So if you call yourself a hoopshead, make sure that you're checking out Reddit on a regular basis. NBA Reddit is wild. The best thing I think that I saw this week, there's so much to choose from. I'm going to go through a lot of different stuff, but I think my favorite thing that I saw, Aaron Gordon is shooting 44% from three this year on 5.3 three-point attempts, and his 43.8% shooting is higher than his college free throw percentage of 42.2%. That's insane. Aaron Gordon had a great game last night, 40 points on 6 of 12 from 3 to go with 15 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals in a 121-108 win over the Thunder. Further in stats world, CP3 now has 72 assists to only 8 turnovers as a Rocket. That's a 9-1 assist to turnover ratio. And he's very near the top of the league in assists. So that, at his age and, coming into a new team is just amazing. We have to continually marvel at what Chris Paul does and hope that this is the year he makes it out of the conference semifinals. Some Redditor found a Rick and Morty spoof with Shaq and Kobe. It's a comic. And it was a little less funny than I was hoping it would be. But when I imagine it in their voices, it's actually pretty hilarious.
Hey, wake up, rise and shine, Kobe Bryant. Kobe, you gotta come here. I have something friggin' incredible to show you. Do you ever think about the multiverse and wonder what things would be like in other dimensions?
Nah.
We'll start, because what I got here is called an interdimensional NBA box. It has access to coverage of the NBA in every conceivable reality.
So that's pretty fun. So JJ Redick has a podcast, and Joel Embiid was on the podcast, and he revealed the first time he ever watched basketball, was in 2009. How's that even possible? The guy's a savant. Less than a decade, and he's the best player on a playoff contender. Another Redditor noted Dwight Howard's game logs. He's got 20-10 in 4 out of his last 5 games, including a 25-20 spot against Minnesota, against Big Cat, a few games ago. So Dwight Howard is having a bit of a renaissance in Charlotte, and we will be facing the Charlotte Hornets in next Wednesday. So should be fun, a fun game for Jaja and JaVale and David West to get out there and battle with the resurgent Dwight Howard. And I realized that I teased a preview of the road trip in the first segment, and I had to move it to the second segment because I spent too much time shitting on the Warriors about their turnovers and being angry at them for their late game execution. So sorry about that. But here we go. The Warriors have Aaron Gordon and the Magic tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific, and then head to Miami on Sunday. After that, it's a back-to-back at New Orleans on Monday, followed by the Hornets on Wednesday and the Pistons next Friday, before they return home to face the Trailblazers on Monday, December 11th. Longest road trip of the year. You know, there's some good teams, but I don't think this road trip, I mean, the Pistons are the best team that the Warriors are going to face, and I think that there's going to be a little bit of an impetus on the Warriors' end to really take care of business in Detroit, because that loss to the Pistons probably still smarts from earlier this season. The Heat are scrappy always, and played the Warriors strong in Oakland, so it should be a good game down in South Florida. Pelicans, obviously, third matchup, hopefully a third win, and then that Hornets game against Dwight Howard is going to be pretty fun. The Hornets are scrappy as well, but more talented than the Heat, and they're extremely well coached, as are the Heat, and so it should be a really great matchup down in Charlotte. I love those moments where Steph gets to go home and put on a show. I want to take you on a journey to my favorite place to watch a basketball game in New York City in the East Village. But first, I want to talk to you about EnclosedLingerie.com. Guys, this holiday season, how about giving your wife or girlfriend something totally different? Something romantic that celebrates this unique connection between you and her. I'm talking about a luxury gift service called Enclosed that delivers designer lingerie to your lady month after month. Enclosed is like a flower of the month, or a beer of the month, but instead of flowers, she gets surprised with ultra-high-end underwear. And this is seriously high-end stuff, the kind of quality that will really impress your lady. Enclosed was designed specifically to help guys find gifts for their wives and girlfriends. Enclosed is all about helping you make her happy. And Enclosed is effortless for you. Once you're a member, every month Enclosed sends your wife or girlfriend a custom-curated lingerie gift selected just for her. And they back the gift up with a 100% size guarantee, so you never have to worry about fit. Another thing that is awesome about Enclosed is that they're San Francisco-based and huge Warrior fans. Their offices, where they customize your gifts, are right down the block from the new Chase Center. You can join the 30,000-plus couples that love Enclosed, and I'll give you a little gift. Right now, you can get $20 off your Enclosed holiday gift. Just go to EnclosedLingerie.com and enter the code WARRIORS at checkout to get $20 off your Enclosed gift. Why not give your wife something that really reflects and deepens the connection between the two of you? Something that you would never give your mother. That's EnclosedLingerie.com. Use code WARRIORS for $20 off the best holiday gift ever. All right, and back to the podcast. I want to take y'all to a trip to New York City to a bar called Finnerty's NYC. And Finnerty's is the premier San Francisco Giants, San Francisco 49ers, and Golden State Warriors bar on the island of Manhattan. And I went to school in New York at Columbia and lived in New York for a few years afterwards. This was, I guess, around 2012, I started going to Finnerty's as a Warriors fan. I'm an A's fan. I'm a Raiders fan. They would put on the A's games for me sometimes, and then I just wouldn't go to Finnerty's on Sundays. it was during the lockout season, the season that Steph was shut down because of his ankle. The season that Klay Thompson first drafted and started getting starters minutes after Monte Ellis was traded away, and it was a bad team. It was a very bad team, and they were the Warriors, so you know I loved them. And Finnerty's was on the come up. Finnerty's had just hosted its first World Series in 2010, was on the way to hosting another World Series. I say Finnerty's hosted the World Series. It sometimes felt like that, the way that fans flocked to the bar to watch the Giants play. And I know plenty of Giants fans who had a great time doing that. I always went as a Warriors fan, so I would go on off nights and watch the Warriors lose. The next season, they was the second season under Mark Jackson, and they won 46 games, something like that, six seed. And that is when I made my name at Finn's, as like the loudest Warriors fan that they had seen up to that point. And this was before Finnerty's was known, before the Warriors were known. So I was just that guy. I made friends with all of the bartenders. Shouts out to Annie and Patrick and Ryan and Brett and Dieter, everybody just treated me so well, and they really became my friends, and the regulars at the bar became my friends, and I like to think of it as my cheers. I don't even have a cheers in the Bay Area, so I'm working on that right now. I feel like it's important for a sports fan to be able to go and find a place where everybody knows their name, you know? Finnerty's was an amazing incubator for me as a sports fan, as a Warriors fan. And I highly recommend any fans who make it to New York City to head to the East Village, 14th and 2nd, check out Finnerty's. They've recently gone through a renovation. It was a little bittersweet because the old kind of diviness of it was part of the appeal. But, when your team wins two out of the last three championships and you are hosting lines out the door during the finals, you know, you got to be able to give those New York amenities. So I do understand the change there. But I was at Finnerty's for the 2015 Game 6. I made sure that I was there, even though I wasn't living in New York anymore. I was still in the Bay Area. I had attended Game 2 of that series that LeBron put the team on his back. He won that game and eventually won the next game. And the Cavaliers went up 2-1 on LeBron's greatness. I found my way back to New York for games 5 and 6, and game 6 was absolutely the most incredible, most raucous, most amazing moment. When it was clear that we were going to win, the bartender started spraying champagne and ringing the bell, and the owner caught me, tweeted me out as one of the diehard Dubs fans who'd been there since what really felt like the beginning. So that was totally awesome to be a part of. And, you know, with the Warriors on the road, I'd love to hear your favorite places. So feel free to email me or tweet me with your favorite places to watch the game that aren't the home or Oracle Arena. And that's my pod for the day. You know, I'm not 100% sure exactly what I have on the docket for tomorrow, but I will make it interesting for you. So stay tuned and stay thoughtful, Hoops heads.